at 71 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome into the Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room. What a great weekend it was here in Tuscaloosa. So I hope everybody had a great time. Great weather out there this morning. I think it's like 50 out there this morning. So I think the highest day is 75, I think I saw. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. You want to dial us up, do that, 205-342-9904. You want to email us, you can do that, wimpandberry@yahoo.com. You want to build a five-star backyard, then the only choice for that would be Yellowwood. That would be pressure-treated pine from Great Southern Wood. Guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you certainly don't want to go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. What a weekend in college football. The SEC was crazy. Vanderbilt with a big win there. I think everybody kind of expected that. I think Vanderbilt's, they're better than LSU. Just I wasn't an upset, to be quite honest with you. Alabama rolls at home. They still have some deficiencies, which is good. You're still winning. You don't really run the ball that well. Defense gives up a bunch of yards, but you're still winning. You're winning pretty comfortably. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing okay. Vanderbilt in top 10 for the first time in the SEC. Have five teams in that poll. In the coaches poll, I think they're 12th. But had a good win, certainly there. You better be careful about South Carolina. They got beat pretty badly, but big game in South Carolina this weekend. You need to be ready for them. Georgia and Alabama. Georgia and Florida are the only two teams that won't play this week. I will give you the coaches. What's going to happen with the coaches as best I can find them out. Alabama, first of all, played, I think, consistently pretty good against Tennessee. They had, you know, the other team's good, too. And they didn't do a bad job defensively. They hung in there pretty darn well. And offensively, they need to get a little bit better, but hung in there, too. And Auburn with the two overtimes, big crowd there. Disappointing, certainly a disappointing year for them so far. So, what's going to happen here is Billy got let out at Florida. Billy Gonzalez, the wide receiver coach, is going to finish the season, and they've got some pretty tough games there, I guess, to take a look at him. That's not going to happen at Auburn. Auburn is going to, from what I can gather, stay with their head coach. I hope they do, and make some decisions as they go through the season as to how they're going to do with the rest of the games, and then decide exactly what they're going to do with that decision. I don't think will be made in a situation where they're going to have an interim coach. Arkansas, the same way, regardless of the expectation, they have been very good offensively. They're going to go through, of course, with their assistant coach, and whether he is absolutely lit up the scoreboard offensively, the team has. They can't guard anybody at all. But, well, they'll give him a shot to do it. I don't know, and most people don't want him there. I don't know if you can find anybody any better. Unless you can. I don't think Lane Kiffin is going to Florida personally. from what I can understand. There was something on the internet about it this morning. I never could get it from what it said. I don't think he's going. I may be dead wrong, as I've been pretty much dead wrong.
No, he's not going. I don't think he's going.
He's not going at all, in my opinion. He's happy at the Grove, happy with the kids that he's got. Doesn't like to recruit that hard. He's got some kids coming in that he can get out of the transfer portal from other places without having kid himself recruiting. He doesn't want to take on another major job. He's had a bunch of major jobs. If he don't want to call Ole Miss a major job, so in my opinion, that stands as the way it is. Alabama and Auburn will a little bit intersect each other in the games this coming week, with the Auburn game at 11:45 and Alabama game at 2:30. Might drag over just a little bit, not much. Auburn on ESPN, Alabama on ABC. So Alabama's done well. They won the close ones. So they've been able to beat Georgia. You know, as you look at the polls, Ole Miss has not been able to beat them regardless. So we'll see what happens as we go through. That's good enough for me.
Probably the biggest, not the biggest, the most surprising win over the weekend. Chase, get the hand clap ready. The UAB Blazers, for them to knock off Memphis.
almost used them as my blue play.
Well, Jason did from North River Lawn Care, and he was arguing, I got it at 20.5, not 23. Well, it don't matter what you got it at. They got beat. Right. What a win for UAB. So what is it? That would scare me if I was a coach on a hot seat. These guys change coaches. UCLA changes. Boom, they're hot. UAB changes. They did well. I was glad Penn State lost 25-24 to Iowa for firing Franklin. But how does that happen? How does Chris Morton's – the UAB wins. They've looked horrible. They beat Memphis, who's beaten Arkansas. And how does that happen?
Well, the funny part about Memphis is 21.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
As I got down to my last two games, of course, I made a mistake, as I used to do. I almost took them. And I do a radio show with one of their announcers, and I said, I'm not going to do that. That's not fair. I don't want to do that. So I decided not to. And as you stated, it was Markinson came in there. I'm not pronouncing it right, but came in there and kind of took over the team, the former NFL guy. So, quite different.
Yeah, his dad, obviously the guy on ESPN, was such a great – just died of throat cancer there. They asked him about that. So that had to be an emotional time. I hate his dad wasn't here to see that. But good for him. In that win, I hear you. I think you're right about Auburn. I don't think they need to change coaches, but I do think this. I think John Cohen and them need to come out and give him a public support and say he's going to be the coach and he's going to be the coach next year, just so people stop talking about, if that's the case, people stop talking about firing him and he's going to be fired. I think it helps the program settle if you say, he's our guy. He hasn't been here long enough. We're disappointed in the results. We're going to look at everything from the head coach all the way down to the equipment guy, but he's going to be our coach next year. I think that helps if they would do that.
John will let some of the money people talk behind the back, and they'll probably state that. There's no reason to try to. Well, that one thing about Auburn, and I will say this, they will buy their tickets, and they will come to the games, and they will buy their tickets for next year. They will support, and they won't be any deal about we're not going to buy tickets anymore. They support their team about as well as anybody. You know, the game could go either way the other night. It went wrong for them, but he doesn't want to make the fan base mad, and by trying to put somebody in that nobody likes to start with. Certainly, you don't like the coaches losing. Everybody's losing when they have a coach. Nobody likes him particularly. But they like the school, and they like to go to the games. And so I would say that from what I can find out, and I've got some little bit of pull down there, they're going to go through the season.
Kalen DeBoer and his staff, I think they have. I think they've won tough games. They've had to make good coaching moves in the fourth quarter. They don't have a very good running game. They have to kind of be creative. They give up a lot of yards, but they make some critical plays. Obviously, the 100-yard interception basically just ended the game. You're talking about you make a score, a touchdown, it's a two-point game, and the next thing you know, you throw a pick six, and it goes from
14 point play.
Yeah.
Seven they don't get, seven you do.
Jack and them were in there. They said they never heard the stadium that loud. They said you could hear the stadium 3 miles away. So give the fans, we get on you about not having a great home field advantage. I think they did have one Saturday night there in Bryant-Denny Stadium. But I think Dad's right. This is when everybody say, whew, we got through all these ranked teams. And that's the best stretch I've seen in football. And then you go to South Carolina, you better be ready. This is like going to Oklahoma last year. South Carolina's hadn't played worth a crap. They've gotten killed. Everybody thinks it's going to be just an easy, easy game. It could be, but these are the games that can jump up. You think Memphis thought they were going over to UAB and losing and probably dashing their hopes to get in the playoffs? I doubt it. I could tell when Coach DeBoer came out of the tunnel before the team ran out, he showed some fire. And I think he was probably just looking up at that stadium and all the people in there, and it had to probably give him chills. And those guys were chanting in that tunnel, getting ready to come. And so they came out ready to go. And so give he and his staff credit. Now, people say, well, people were picking on him, getting all up. Well, you know what? They probably deserved it after the Oklahoma game and the Michigan game and the Florida State game. I mean, people were disappointed in that, but they've turned it around, and I think they've kind of changed their demeanor there a little bit, and they look like a well-coached football team to me. Same to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think they do a lot of things very, very well offensively. I think they keep the defense off balance. I think that's the one thing Grubb has done. He's kept them off balance. Quarterback-wise, we didn't see him much in practice, but he is good. He is as good as indicated that he was, and he knows how to coach the team himself. He knows how to say the right words, and he also is able to back that up. So, I think you're right. Like the offensive team is well coached. Balance is good. They know what they want to do. You can't, if you coming in trying to coach them, should have done this, should have done that. Tennessee's got a good team. They're good. And it was a good win. Tennessee game is, I think he realized how big that coach did. Realizes it is on Friday, a few statements that he made to how big the Tennessee game really meant to Alabama. They all mean big, but I thought that was big.
Yeah. All right, we'll take the first break. Up at the phone calls, we've got Max Howell at the bottom of the hour. Your boy Bill Belichick went over there and hurt your, at least you got your blue plate over early Friday. Did you wake up when you looked at the score?
I can't pick them, Barry.
When you looked at the score, even Blake was laughing. He said even Coach Sproul didn't like your pick. So I don't know what that means. 2 minute truck. They're at 1330 Martin Road East. Not Blake, Jack. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and your stuff. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. 2 minute truck. Movers, who care?
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa thread.
Good Monday morning. Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt is pressing Democrats to do the right thing and reopen government. Democrats and Republicans remain dug in on their positions on day 19 of the government shutdown, which has become the third longest funding lapse in modern history. It looks like there's no end in sight. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic. Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We do have now an accident on 2059 westbound after Foster's. It is on the right shoulder now, and it's still got traffic just a bit on the slower side. Otherwise, you move fine.
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful fall day today. The sky's sunny, the high 72. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. For tomorrow, partly sunny, the high 77. Wednesday, sunny and cooler. Wednesday's high at 71 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. One thing I'm seeing, there is a lot of parity in college football with the portal and the NIL. But you're seeing now coaches could get fired during the season now because they feel like we got to get our ducks in a row. We got to figure out what we're going to do. We got to hit the ground running when the season's over. So let's go ahead and get this guy out of here, pay him. And so that is a downside to me. I wish they would just say, you got to let the guy coach the season, and then you can, but they ain't going to do that. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
Hey, good morning. Well, one thing's for sure, gentlemen. Oklahoma's going to play a key role in this battle for Atlanta. They play Ole Miss at home this weekend, and then they've got to come to Tuscaloosa, and then they play Missouri on November 22nd. So they're gonna play a key role in this, and they've only got the one loss to Texas, which that in itself sort of surprised me. I thought they'd beat Texas, but they've got a good defense. I think Oklahoma has got a good enough defense to scuttle the Ole Miss attack and beat them in Norman this weekend. I feel pretty good about that. They're going to be a factor, and they've got a good D, maybe have the best defense in the league, possibly.
Well, you're going to need somebody to knock off Texas A&M. Who's going to do that?
I don't really see anybody at this point. They go to LSU this weekend. And
I don't know. Now, that's a night game in Baton Rouge. This could be the weekend.
Yeah, it could be, but LSU just looks – they just don't look – good at all. I was expecting more out of them Saturday, and they didn't execute. They make a lot of dumb plays, and I just don't believe in LSU. But Texas A&M does have to go to Columbia, Missouri on November the 8th. So you've got a couple of situations right there where, you know, they're going to be challenged here in the next couple of weeks.
Dad, do you see any scenario? Do you see Vanderbilt? I mean, they got Missouri at home this weekend. Vanderbilt is good, guys. I'm telling you, this quarterback, they got Missouri at home. They're 2.5-point favorite. They got to go to Texas. Now, Texas is having a hard time scoring, but that'll be tough. They got Auburn at home, Kentucky at home, and they finish up at Tennessee. Dad, you giving Vanderbilt any chance? They'll probably drop one of those, maybe two. But you give them any chance of possibly running the table and being in this college? If they run this table, if they go 10-2, don't they deserve to be in the playoff? Yeah. Hello.
Hey, can you hear me, Ben?
Yeah, go ahead. Dad. You there? I know we lost him, Chase. Philip, what do you think?
if they go 10-2, well, it just depends on what happens with the rest of the league.
But if you said any, if you said Oklahoma went 10-2, if Alabama went 10-2, if Georgia went 10-2, you'd say everybody would say, oh, they, because it's Vanderbilt and the name Vanderbilt, you're being hesitant. And I'm not saying you're wrong to say they should be in the playoff. Why shouldn't they be in the playoff at 10-2?
Well, they could be. They could be. You know, Alabama's advantage right now is their losses is to Florida State. But they don't have another. They don't have a lead loss, and that's Alabama's been big advantage. So that's this thing is not going to be figured out until several weeks from now. We've got several teams that have one loss, and Alabama's like I said, they've got their one loss to Florida State, which is a huge advantage, and. I haven't done a whole lot of research on South Carolina yet, but that's the type of game that kind of can give Alabama problems.
Yeah.
They got to be careful. You know, they got to get off that bus ready to play Saturday afternoon, and probably is what's going to be a heated environment. I'm glad the game's not at night.
Yeah, 3:30 kick over there. They're not playing well right now offensively. Everybody's on Mike Shula over there. So I'm looking at Georgia's remaining schedule. They've got Florida at Mississippi State, Texas at home, Charlotte at home, and at Georgia Tech. So they only have three conference games left. Two of them are at home. One of them's at Mississippi State. Now they're going to lose the head-to-head. Alabama, that's their problem right there. So,
right, it is. It's a problem. And I feel like Georgia will win those three conference games, especially with Texas being in Athens. I'm just not really impressed with Georgia's defense. I thought the two worst defensive teams I saw this past weekend, were Georgia and Ole Miss. Ole Miss was They were horrendous on defense.
Yeah.
Georgia's not that much better. They were good enough to hold them off.
Yeah.
I'm back on.
All right. Vanderbilt. If Vanderbilt finishes 10-2, should they be in the playoff?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. If they finish 10-2,
they got a shot.
Like everybody else, you got Texas going into Kentucky and winning by a touchdown. You got. But Max has said about Georgia and Ole Miss, they deserve just as much. The name overwhelms you because you don't think about it. But I think they've got a shot. I don't have any idea if they'll get in or not. But I don't know that we have a great team in the SEC. I think we have good teams, and y'all gonna butt back at me and say, well. They're playing each other, but I don't know if they're great. Now, I don't know that the best ones are as good as they have been. Maybe everybody else is so equal. Maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead, man.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I don't think there's a great, great, great team for sure. I sure don't.
All right. Cignetti, he beat Michigan State 38-13. Phillip, you were calling for the upset there.
I did. I thought they'd play a lot closer. So I give Indiana credit for not reading the newspaper clippings all week and looking at the ESPN stories. So I give them credit for not handling their success right. Although the line was 26.5, so that worked out for you betting enthusiast on that, but. Cignetti's in a good spot, man. He's got it made now. His rest of his coaching life is mapped out, and got a huge contract, so he's tended to. We're just watching this Penn State possible train wreck unfurl, and this Florida coaching search unfurl, and there's going to be others. I think Stoops is probably out of Kentucky. He's been there for, I think this is his 15th season, if I'm not mistaken, And you guys feel like Freeze will be back, and he may be. But, man, those Auburn-oriented podcasts,
I'm just saying
he'll be back until if they They're not going to make a change during the season, is all I'm saying.
I just don't. If you get rid of him, I mean, you have talent there. You're going to lose it. You're going to go back a year or two. Who are you going to get? I mean, who's Florida going to get? Let's be honest. Who's going to Florida? Lane Kiffin's not going to Florida. So who are they going to get? Who are they going to get?
I don't know. I think their best shot right now, if they want him, is James Franklin.
Might not be a bad pick, to be quite honest with you. Nick Saban was not happy with Penn State's administration, and he let him know it. And I appreciate him doing that.
Man, he really did. Before that day, there was some talk online about him going to Penn State, just a little chatter online about that. Boy, he sure meant fast.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Philip.
Yeah.
Thomas Rib Shack, they'll be ready to roll for you. They closed on Mondays, but get out there tomorrow. Get that great barbecue, the great fish, great chicken. They got the baked chicken. They got all the sides you want right there. Go to thomasribshack.com. You can place your order right there. You want to do a catering order for the weekend for the South Carolina game, 2:30 kick. Roll those ribs and pork and all that in there, and you watch Alabama go to Columbia. I wish I was going to Columbia and roll. I got a baseball tournament this weekend. I need to be going to Columbia, Chase. You listen to Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We do have now an accident on 2059 westbound after Foster's. It is on the right shoulder now, and it's still got traffic just a bit on the slower side. Otherwise, you
action today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com. Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Inside the locker room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, get right to the Yellowwood hotline. Former football coach at Florida State, Ole Miss radio personality throughout the South, joins us every Monday. The one and only Max Howell. What's up, Max?
Hey, what about a great weekend?
Hey, Max, how about this? Guys, preseason AP top 25. Number one, Texas.
Gold.
Number two, Penn State.
Gold.
Number three, Ohio State. Number four, Clemson.
Gold.
So three of the top four there. Texas didn't look very good over the weekend. Penn State loses to Iowa, and Clemson is 3-4. So what does that tell us about the state of college football, Max?
Well, it tells us that, you know, the whoever's doing the voting to start with, they're looking at last year's record probably, and they're looking at whatever the transfers they try to get in. They try to do the off-season scouting and recruiting and looking to see what the teams potentially can be. But doesn't tell you anything about the trying to bring those new guys in and put them in with what's already there. I think that's the big, in particular when you start talking about offense with the linemen and so forth.
Yeah.
It's hard to build. There's no continuity. You players, and I'm not demeaning the players or maybe even the system, but the fact is, the reality is, you look across. I tried to evaluate where we are in the Southeastern Conference. And in my opinion right now, Alabama's by far the most improved football team from the first week. And I think they are getting some consistency with their offensive front. Of course, Simpson's helped them a lot, because you got to contain him. But you go down and try to analyze some of these other coaching staffs and the way they've tried to handle the portal and bring in new kids and insert them. I know these the players themselves are you know more than adequate. That's why they're there. But the fact is they don't gel quick enough, and I can't quite figure out on some of these coaches, you know, how do you take a new kid that had been exposed to another system, bring him in their last transfer portal, and he's a good enough athlete to play. He's better than anything you got, but he doesn't fit. It's either personality or can't pick up the plays, or there's several, I think, situations you've got to address in that thing, and I think it's showing up on Saturday afternoon now.
Yeah.
How good is A&M?
How good are they? Yeah, I think they're in the top three or top four of the conference right now. I think the consistency has been their problem. They don't, you know, they've winning, but if you watch them play, they got some gaps in there. They got a few more talent, you know, a few more guys. I think that better than the teams that they played so far. But I got them. I think Rip probably be in the top three.
Would you say that they're might keep the offensive? The new coach at Arkansas, Coach got let out, of course. He came in. Would they keep him? They're scoring it. They're scoring at will. They can't stop it tonight. And he got two defensive. He got rid of the defensive coordinators. Now either one or two things happened. The players got mad because he got rid of them and they kind of quit, or they're not as good to start the good as they were to start with, or he hired some guys from the pros and they weren't ready to coach him. What's going to happen there?
Yeah. I think Petrino's got the team playing a lot better than they were. You know, for whatever reason, they scored more points. And I know the offensive side is probably, you know, happier than they are. I think the defensive side, probably coach just going to have to hang on for this rest of the season. See, Petrino's got a faction over there that, you know, because of all his off-field problems he had before, don't like him and don't want him. But thinking that what's going to happen, it appears that the team's going to end up being so much better and playing so much better, they almost have to keep him. I really do. But it's interesting how fast that thing turned around. I mean, he just stepped in on the offense and I guess probably changed some personnel as well on the field. And he saw what he had there. I mean, that team's definitely better than they were before with the previous staff.
Well, he had coached the offense and picked out the players when he was just coach. But for some reason, either they're I don't have an answer.
Okay, the only thing I could tell is that you know he'll put the game plan together, if when he went in there either Pittman or somebody else on that staff, on the offensive staff, didn't like what he wanted to do or thought it was too dangerous or didn't think they had the personnel to do it. And I think he was at the point, he just rolled the dice. He said, let's try it and see. And it did, and it's working.
Yeah. Ole Miss played great at Georgia. I mean, defensively, Georgia just made the plays. Georgia just, they don't think they're going to lose. They just figure out a way to get it done. How does Lane Kiffin get this football team ready to play at Oklahoma now? His schedule's tough. You know, he's got a chance to make the playoff. But after that, you know, he probably can win the rest of them. He's got South Carolina at home, Citadel at home, Florida at home, and at Mississippi State. So this big game for Lane Kiffin. How does he get them back ready to play against a good Oklahoma team?
I think they'll throw it. I mean, the difference is when you're trying to mix your offense, Barry, that's you. The kids, let's see how to say this. If they go to prep all week to throw the football, is what they're going to do. And they're going to use two quarterbacks. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Because they got to if they want to keep either one of them. They got to keep playing them. And I think that's what he does. And I think he mixes the offense up. He still can't run the ball very well because they practice, hour and a half every day throwing the ball down the field. That's what he knows. That's what he likes. That's what the kids like. You got to think about practice sessions, guys, with that offensive front. If you go, if you're a running game like Georgia primarily is, you, those kids come out there every day, they put their head on the ground and knock folks off the ball. If you're working on a pass offense, remember, the first step is backwards with the offensive line. So that you can't be both. You got to, you know, you got to gear your team to one or the other. They're going to throw it. And I think, you know, I think they got a pretty good chance. You're right. This is the biggest challenge they've got. But I'll tell you this, too. Why they got beat this past weekend? Georgia's got more and better players than Ole Miss has got. And that's just a matter of fact. And Kirby was able to rotate those guys in and out throughout the game. And Lane didn't have, he might have ones and twos, but he ain't got threes and fours. If you play a physical game like that in the fourth quarter, you better have threes and fours that can play. Or you better have rested your ones and twos during the regular game so they still got plenty of energy in the fourth quarter. And Ole Miss can't do that because they don't have them.
Where's Florida go, Max? Billy Napier, I mean, I don't know. That schedule is brutal. I know you got to win some games. They beat so they already, must have already decided they were going to fire him. So I guess he coaches the game he's done on Sunday. Who do they – I mean, Lane Kiffin's not going to Florida. So who do they get?
Well, don't be too sure of that. I got a couple of good friends that's pretty close to that program. And I got some more. They've got in their coffers ready to pay a coach $16.5 million a year right now. They raised that the last 2 weeks. And they got another budget on the side. They got another budget aside for $160 million to take care of all the NIL money and everybody else. And they've taken the athletic director out of the procedure that's going to select the coach. And he's not, whoever they hire is not going to have to answer to the athletic director. They're going to have a committee outside that. So I'm thinking right now, Lane, if only reason I think Lane would leave is that he has a chance to win more games consistently than he does at Ole Miss. He's got that program running about as high as you could get there. And I've been on that staff there. So I can tell you, and I know a lot about where the money comes from. And they've about tapped out. His base salary is right at 10 right now. And he's got bonuses based in there that he could make probably $11.5 million a year if he stays there. But if they start, I know for a fact when he was first contacted, he told him, he said, "What do you come for?" He said, I won't come for less than $15 million a year. And they've already raised that. Now, how much that goes, you know, going forward, I don't know. But I know what the Ole Miss people are saying, that it's more turmoil inside than just the money. There's too many chiefs in there and not enough Indians. And that may be true. And I think that's probably exactly what's going on in Texas also with Sarkisian. But the fact is Florida's already fired their coach, so they got to find somebody. I mean, they don't use one of the assistants going to run it the rest of the year. But they're working hard. I guess you saw who was on the sideline with Kiffin Saturday, though. I mean, Jimmy Sexton sitting on the sideline with him in Georgia. And so I'm just saying it's a lot of things going on right now that I wouldn't dare say who's going to do what. Because big money talks, guys. I mean, you know that.
Yeah, I just don't know about his family situation. He got them all there. I think his priorities maybe changed a little bit. And he's got that thing running. Ole Miss is like the school to go to. Now, Alabama and Ole Miss, the enrollments are going crazy. He might do it, but yeah. I don't know. Right now, it's Florida. I know you're going to laugh at me when I ask this. And what you just said makes sense to where it would be, but is Florida a better job than Ole Miss right now? Why is everybody going down there not being successful?
Well, because they've just now decided that's why, because of the internal workings, and that's what they're trying to straighten out. Scott Strickland came from Mississippi State, went down there, and I think, you know, he probably does a good job, and I'm just repeating what I've heard, as far as overseeing some of the lesser high-profile programs. He's good at raising money for facilities. They're trying to redo this. They added some more seats to the stadium. Sky boxes anyway. But anyway, they got a lot of other things. And I mean, the word I heard, they're going to leave him as athletic director, but his duties is going to be changed for next year. that he will have a lot to say. See, he did, and I didn't know this just recently, that on the hiring of Napier, he was just a would-be admitting crew. He didn't have a committee or anything. And he thought that his program, you know, it was his program, but you still know that didn't work out. And if you'd looked, those guys had looked at the difference in the level that Billy Napier coached at was so successful. Guys, I'm telling you, I coached at Troy. I coached for the national championship team. And when I went to Florida State was playing like Alabama is. We was number one in the country. And there's like daylight and dark in those two programs. You got too many more responsibilities when you're at the top level in the country. And I just don't think they realize that, but I think it's all come to, you know, it's all come to pass now.
Yeah, that.
I don't know if they'll talk about this or not. I just think that Auburn really doesn't Auburn's going to keep him through the season. But I don't think it's you've got the coach from Penn State. There's not a handful of top-notch coaches who can please Auburn and can come into Auburn and not know Auburn like the, you know, they love their school, and sometimes from afar you're not sure about them. I don't think the person's there. Do you? As far as somebody new coming in.
I don't know who they would get right now. I really don't.
Yeah.
But
yeah, me too.
There's something else missing in that coach between, you know, what's going on during the week and what happens on Saturday. I don't know what the breakdown is, but there's some lack of communication, and I don't know where it's with Coach Freeze, with the team itself, or him with the assistant coaches. It's just a gap in there.
I'd guess offense.
Max, they got a, you know, Coach Saban changed his offense when they were winning national championships. He's got to just say, you know what, my way is not working anymore. I'm going to go hire the best coordinator I can hire, and we're going to change our offense, and we're going to play more like Alabama. I got these great receivers. I'm going to get a guy who can throw the football. We've tried. This way does not work anymore. It just doesn't. And it's boring. And the quarterback doesn't develop. And I think they could possibly tell him that, look, man, we're going to bring you back, but we got to do something different offensively, and you got to get out of the way, just be the head coach. I don't know.
I agree with that. But Barry, here's the thing that nobody knows, or nobody can figure out yet that I've talked to, is that nobody knows who's calling the shots behind the scene. I'm sure they got a few guys that's got some influence with that program. Maybe the guys that got him there, you know, that helped to raise the money to pay him. The fact is, but for some reason, that whole operation internally, I mean, look, when Bobby Lytle was there, everybody knew who called the shots. I mean, there wasn't any doubt about that. But the fact is, now, I rarely ever see, you know, some of the top administrators in that school voice an opinion about that. You know, they bring the athletic director from Mississippi State over there, and I don't know how strong he is on top of that. It's just confusion inside that there seems to be no leadership whatsoever. And I think it drifts into the football program. And like you say, whatever Coach Freeze is trying to do with the offense is definitely not working. I don't know whether it's too pattern oriented, where the defenses on the opposing team can read that and take it off the tape. I hadn't figured all that out yet. But the fact is, the people are still coming. They still support them. And until that slows down, I'll be surprised if they make a change right now. Mainly because, if they aren't going to make a change, if they aren't already making contacts, the guys that have an opportunity to win at that level are going to be few and far between. And I think that's why Florida's stepping out right now. Whichever direction they go, they're going to try to nail somebody down the next probably 2 to 3 weeks.
Max, in the 16 team that we have in the SEC, is there really a national championship team in there?
I think if Alabama keeps improving, coach, on the way they've improved the offensive front, the defense has become a little bit better. They had to take up some gaps, I think, in the backs, in the secondary. I think those positions are improving. I don't think they probably thought that Ty Simpson was going to do what he's doing, but I don't think anybody else thought so. I think Alabama's got a chance that I don't think anybody else does, not to get that national championship level. I went down and tried to evaluate everybody in the conference over the weekend, and I came up with probably the same list about Alabama, Georgia. Of course, Vanderbilt's playing well right now. Texas A&M's playing well, and Missouri on the outside, not for a championship, but maybe get to the SEC championship game. But everybody else, I mean, you can't tell on Saturday who's, you know, how they're going to play and who's going to show up. Those are the teams that appears headed down the stretch. They're going to take, there'll be a couple of them come out of there. Probably be Alabama and Georgia, the way it looks right now. But I think Alabama's only one that has improved up to this point. It appears is continually to improve. It's got a chance to get to a national championship game.
Does Florida State keep their coach, Max?
I don't know. That's an unusual situation down there. That the alumni has a lot to say about what the committees that work outside the university has a lot to say from a committee standpoint on whether the coach should stay or not. And I think he made an effort to bring in some new guys and you play brought in 70 players and 6 new coaches off of last year's after the debacle for the 2 wins last year. Whether they make a change or not, if they roll the dice and say, hey, what if we got to lose? I mean, I think if Clemson had stayed on top, of course, you got the emergence of Georgia Tech now in the ACC. They may give him one more year with this new staff and the new transfers they brought in to see if they can gel. But I still tell you at the beginning of the season why Alabama played so bad. They had nothing to look at. The only thing they could have gone, and I'm sure they probably did, is get Central Florida's offensive tapes and maybe go back to Auburn and get some of their tapes to look at what Gus does on a regular basis. And I think that was the only – Alabama just didn't have any way to evaluate anybody that was going to play against them. And I know that's no excuse, but I know enough about the preparation at that level. In the off season, that's what you do. You break down every at least the first 3 games you play. You use every game you go through and look at every game they played over the last couple of years. And when you got a whole new staff and a whole new team coming in, it's hard to do that, particularly that quarterback, if you recall. And it was rated that day. And, I mean, it's no excuse, but that was all different stuff than what a team has to play usually. So I'm just saying all that probably will play into that. And I think it depends on basically how Florida State does the rest of the year. If he stays.
Well, for both of you, and our listeners still shouldn't say this, but anytime that you're really, really bad at the beginning, I have some teams like that, and you get a little bit better and you win the close games, they think you've improved tremendously and your coaching is much better. And that makes that, and I think that makes them feel better for game of the board, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely do. There's no doubt. I do think it's how they play out now the rest of the year. If they get beat, and they don't play well for whatever reason, then I think there's a good opportunity. You know, they were hollering for his head last year, but he was able to stay. And that was the
That's
way
right.
he did that was bringing all those players in, the new coaches. But see, it's that level now is with all the transfer situation and the money that's available. It's hard to make a call, but I tell you, we just passed the middle of the season and we already getting shakeups in the coaching staffs. And I think soon coming, head coach is a couple of things. I think head coach is going to have a shorter contract, maybe 3 years now. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. And I think there's going to be some other changes, hopefully, with the coaches on the buyout situation. That's where it hurts a lot of athletic departments, is not so much changing the coach, but what they owe him because of the lengthy contracts that they got him signed to. And of course, guess who wins in that? Jimmy Sexton wins in that no matter what the guys get. He's going to get his cut. So the fact is I think there's going
to
be
don't go to start with.
That level.
Yes, they don't go to start with.
All right, Max. Dad and I try to do this, but we'll let you do it. Maybe you can do it better than we can. Alabama's going to South Carolina. All can be trap games. You got through all the ranked teams, and everybody's taking a deep breath now. You won at Georgia. You won at Missouri. You beat Tennessee here, and now you're going to South Carolina, just lost like 26-7. Everybody says, whew, and they catch their breath, like, we're going to blow this team out. How does Kalen and Bort and these guys keep this from happening? This is what happened last year when they went to Oklahoma. Oklahoma was horrible. Everybody didn't think it was going to be a game. South Carolina's not playing well. They do have a quarterback that's picked to win the Heisman by some people at the beginning of the year. What do you do to make sure this team's ready to play against South Carolina when nobody around here thinks this is going to be a game?
Well, you take your offensive game plan and bring it back down to the basics. And that's what you run the basics on this. You don't try anything fancy at all. You let your talent win the ball game for you, Barry. You know, you may not win, you may not cover the line. And I don't even know what the line is, but I'd have
the line is 13 and a half.
That's what I figured, okay. I said 12-15. So knowing that, Alabama's got enough talent if they just run the basic stuff. You know, maybe throw on first down or play action on first down, come back and run on second, third. And if you've got a punt, turn it over to the defense. Because Alabama's got that much better talent. And I think if the kids would understand that also, is to, you know, Coach Bowden was the best that I ever saw. And when he got games like this, he would change up practice. And I mean, there were some teams we played. Now, this was back in the 80s, but there were some teams we played, and we'd come out there and do warm-ups and stretch and do a couple of drills, and he'd dismiss them on Tuesday and let them rest another day. And then we'd come in and prep for a game on Wednesday and Thursday. But he was a master at changing things up so they wouldn't get stale, just like you're talking about, and lay an egg on Saturday. So the Bulldogs probably got that kind of mentality that's a little different than a lot of coaches operate on. But I think the key to this is you know, don't think yourself over coach your kids in a game like this one. You better save your stuff for later down the road. And surely they look at the tapes from last year when they did this. Hopefully they got the message. And I think with the offensive coordinator they got it there now, offensively I think that's exactly what he's going to do with his offense.
All right, Max, before you go, we have a listener, and I think he is a pretty good cook. He thinks they can't pick football games. He picked Memphis to destroy UAB and argue with me about the line, and UAB beat Memphis. But nobody saw that coming.
Right.
But for breakfast, here's what he tells you need to do. Get the smoker going.
Okay.
Wrap a honey bun in bacon and cook it until the smoke – cook it on smoker until the bacon is done, and top it with honey or syrup served with coffee and milk. Don't knock it till you try it. He says it's the bomb. Honey bun wrapped in bacon. Have you ever done this?
Yeah. No, but I could feel the taste in my mouth right now, how that combination would be good. You got enough sugar, it'll melt off that from the honey bun to raise the taste of the bacon. And I would probably cook the bacon. I know they're done, but I cook it to crisp on top. And does he do it all on the grill?
On the smoker. He does it on the smoker.
Yeah, on the smoker. Yeah. I could see that.
Try that with your hunting buddies. If it's good, take credit for it. If it's not, you can blame Jason
I got to tell you one. Week after next, all my hunting buddies are headed to Mississippi Delta this week. Coming up, they stay like 5 days. Going on what they do, they don't hunt but one thing over this time of year, that's squirrel. The last time they went, they killed 120 squirrels.
Oh, wow.
And let me tell you something, guys, how they shoot them. They don't shoot them with shotguns. Every one of them will headshots with a rifle. So the meat's solid. And I'm telling you, I'll have some good recipes. They won't be back to Sunday, so it'll be the week after before we talk about
them. I'm having a hard time getting hungry about squirrel, Max.
Well, you let me cook some for you, and I'll disguise it so you won't even know. You think it's chicken. I promise you.
I cooked Dad a beef tenderloin over the weekend. I think he liked it.
Yeah,
I think he liked it. So, thank you, Max.
All right, guys. Thanks, always my pleasure.
All right, buddy. Thanks. All right, there's Max. How we went way over to Blake. Hey. With, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll tell you back.
Want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Grace Sutton. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The San Francisco 49ers are now 5-2 this NFL season after winning the Sunday night game at home against Atlanta 20-10. Christian McCaffrey finished with just over 200 total yards, including two touchdown runs. Denver won on a field goal on the final play, 33-32 against the Giants. The Broncos scored all 33 points in the fourth quarter. Indianapolis, with the best record in the league, 6-1, beat the Chargers in L.A., 38-24. Green Bay scored a touchdown with just under 2 minutes left and won at Arizona 27-23. Dallas beat Washington 44-22. Washington quarterback Jaden Daniels left with a hamstring injury. The London game went to the Rams 35-7 over Jacksonville. Matthew Stafford threw five touchdown passes. The Florida Gators fired coach Billy Napier, and the Toronto Blue Jays forced a game seven of the ALCS. It'll be Monday night in Canada after beating Seattle 6-2.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we've got some pretty significant delays now on Highway 69 southbound after May Hinton Boulevard with this collision blocking the left lane, and it's got traffic backed up pretty solid. Also moving about 2059.
5339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurline B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And roll Tide.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson. A father-son duo with decades of coaching experience. Breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back. You're inside the locker room. Thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. The tire special still going on. Buy three tires, get the fourth tire for $1. Goes on to the end of the month. So take advantage of that if you need tires. That Tundra's 2.99 APR for the first 72 months. You want that Camry? What a beautiful car. The 2026er in 1.99 APR for the first 36 months. Swing by Skyline Boulevard or go to the website TuscaloosaToyota.com. All right, to Tuscaloosa Toyota Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach.
How are you?
Good morning. Morning, Tom.
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
You know, I thought Mac had a couple of really good points, and one that I picked up on, too, you know, Rodney Gardner is in charge of the defensive line at Tennessee, and they don't come any better than him in recruiting or coaching. I put him on the same level as Bo Davis, and he's very good. And that was a really good defensive line that Tennessee brought in here, and I thought our offensive line manned up and played as good as you could expect him to play against that kind of talent. I mean, it was a dogfight in there all night. And the kid that I'm the most proud of for improving since week number two is Formby. I think his name's Wilkin Formby. He played at Northridge.
Yeah.
That kid showed me some stuff Saturday night.
Yeah, Wilkin, they've moved him from tackle to guard. They've moved him around. Great kid. Went to Northridge. Family's obviously involved. His granddad owns Taco Casa.
Really?
Yeah. And so he and,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he and Caden Proctor are roommates and best friends. And but he's a special kid. And I think he's, you know, because he's from Tuscaloosa and all that, he takes some, you know, he's not perfect, but he takes a lot of criticism.
People are real. And I was one of them. I thought, all this sticking your hand out and all like that. But Saturday night, he was solid as a freaking rock. He was moving good. They put their best pass rusher over there on him when he was at right tackle. They thought they could exploit him. He manned up. He was in front of that guy. Did not let him get by him and get to the quarterback. I was really proud of his performance this weekend.
Well, I don't remember Ty getting sacked, and that hadn't been the case a lot. Now, the running game wasn't great.
Zero sacks.
Yeah, running game wasn't great, but they kept our Prince up. He wasn't taking a lot of hits like he did against Missouri, so that's good to see.
Yeah, and I agree with Max. If Alabama continues on the curve they're on, they should be hitting on all cylinders by the end of the season, and they'll be a contender. I do believe that he's right about that. Do you?
Yeah, I just think you can't, you know, you got, like, we've been playing these tough teams, and everybody's just been focused on Missouri or focused on Georgia, and they were focused on Tennessee. I think when you start playing who people perceive as lesser opponents, you can't start looking ahead. You got to just focus on, not that it doesn't matter who the fans focus on, but you got to just focus on South Carolina, and we got to figure out a way to go over there and beat those guys, and then you move on to the next. I think you just got to keep going one game at a time, and they still got a lot of room to improve. They don't run the ball great, and they give up a lot of yards, but they make big plays defensively in the red zone, which so go ahead.
I think the defense is coming around, though. I really do. I see some improvement now. I do agree with a couple of commentators said they broke down on their gap integrity and commitment to gap defense, but maybe they'll learn from that. But I think that they could get better. But Georgia, my God Almighty, that's a tough bunch of kids. They are tough.
Yeah,
that's all you can say. And it got down into the fourth quarter, and the camera was on Coach Smart there, and you could see the pride bubble when they took that line of scrimmage over and started running the ball down Ole Miss's throat. He was in hog heaven.
Mm-hmm. It's like, Auburn gets that bad call, and then on, Georgia just took over. They do that. So that's what an impressive win for Alabama to go to Georgia and win.
That's huge. It really is. But I tell you what, don't count them out. They look mighty good to me. They may make some mistakes, but that bunch of youngins over there, they don't give up. They keep coming at you. They fight hard, and I really like the way he's coaching.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, we got to get to Doug. All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right, see you.
All right, we'll take this break here. We'll get to Doug. Sorry, Cowboy. Call back after Doug. We'll have plenty of time for you. I'll take you first up after Doug. We'll take the break and get Doug Bell. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're looking at a collision on Highway 69 southbound after Mayhenton Boulevard, right at Little Sandy Road, and this is blocking the left lane with authorities on the scene. Also watching out for this fender bender in Foster's.
Assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com, and by DCH Regional Medical Center, online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, home of the original chicken finger and a proud partner of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Visit us in store or online at GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are some final thoughts from the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer, after Alabama's win over Tennessee on Saturday.
Just really proud of our guys. Another gutty win against a very good team, well coached, and just they constantly put pressure on you, you know, especially with their offense. And they got some playmakers defensively. You know, wasn't perfect. You'd love to have no turnovers and all that good stuff, but our guys just did a nice job of continuing to fight, just like we have been. And we played for four quarters, you know, and you know, a big rivalry game. So glad we can do that for our fan base and appreciate the support we had tonight. You know, loud and just great energy from the time we did the walk. Our guys felt that. Appreciate everyone showing up for that and just feeding off it all game long. So
I'll have more in a moment.
This year we honor the most important anniversary ever. An event that reshaped civilization as we know it. A day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen on our radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as catch a video replay on the CTSN YouTube channel. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful fall day today. The sky's sunny, the high 72. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. For tomorrow, partly sunny, the high 77. Wednesday, sunny and cooler. Wednesday's high at 71 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
To Inside the Locker, we'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline and get our great guest every Wednesday. We'll find out a little bit of golf, also look at his picks from over the weekend, and he'll make his new picks today with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live. CBS Sports has a podcast as well. He'll talk about that. Doug Bell. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Coach. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Justin Thomas was at the game on Saturday night.
He had
better seats than I did. How does a great golfer get better seats than me at a big game like that? I can't figure it out, guys.
He got his picture made with Coach Saban, so he was up in the box. He was up in the box area.
He had the all access pass.
Good
for JT. Now he's a big fan. And I will say, when I'm out on the PGA Tour, wherever those kids, I say kids, I'm getting old, all these young men, wherever they go to college, they do support their team, and they do have a good time kind of bantering back and forth. And obviously Justin Thomas has had bragging rights for a long, long time. So he's a proud Crimson Tider, that's for sure.
Yeah. That.
Anything in the golf world besides Tiger being operated on again? Go ahead.
You know, Coach, the tour resumes this week. It was off last week. They came back from Japan. So it's the Bank of Utah Classic. That's Tony Finau's tournament out in Utah. It's a beautiful golf course with these mountains behind it. It's one of these tournaments where you don't have a lot of the big names, like Justin Thomas will not play. In fact, Justin won't play the rest of the fall. But you have guys that are trying to fight their way into the top 100, which secures their card for 2026. And guys, that if you can finish the fall inside the top 60, then you get in the first two signature events next season. And, you know, the signature events are the limited fields, big money, guaranteed money, et cetera. So, you know, there's stuff to be played for. But I always say it's interesting the fall, opposite college football and pro football, the PGA Tour kind of gets glossed over. But they resume. There's four more tournaments. JT not playing. Tommy Fleetwood, by the way, who won the tour championship, the DP World Tour, the European Tour, was in India, New Delhi. That was on at a weird time, like 3 in the morning, and Fleetwood wins. Rory was playing. They had a great field, and it was a beautiful golf course over in New Delhi, India. But, again, golf just kind of gets glossed over, but they're playing big money events. And this week, by the way, Nick Dunlap will be back. Lee Hodges, Trey Mullinax, still playing on a major medical. So Trey has four more in the fall to try to get into the top 100 and secure a card for next year. Robbie Shelton, who just finished the Korn Ferry Tour Finals, he's the first alternate, so likely to get in these tournaments here closing out the year. And Patton Kizzire, a young guy who grew up in Tuscaloosa, actually went to Auburn. He's in the field this week, too. So a lot of local flavor at the Bank of Utah Classic, so we'll see what happens. But again, I always say there is golf going on, but it doesn't get a lot of pub because of college football and pro football.
Nick's probably not going to get where he needs to get, is he?
Well, he's already secured his card for next year because he won twice last year, and that carries over for basically another year and a half. So in that regard, he's secure for next year. But I think a guy like Nick Dunlap just needs to, he played pretty well over in Mississippi, made the cut, and he just kind of needs to get back in form. He's a young guy who suffered through just a terrible season, which happens. So we'll see if he can get back on track. Talented guy, went through a lot. We talked about it on the show. Changed his clubs, fired his agent. Agent in turn sued the family. Going through a lot of stuff for a young guy. And obviously the most important is he's just not playing well. And he's not driving the ball well. That's the thing. You got to put yourself in position. And his driving accuracy was just abysmal. So hopefully he'll get it back. I'm a Nick Dunlap fan. And, oh, by the way, you mentioned Tiger, Coach. That was 2 weeks ago now. That was his seventh surgery, and most medical experts, even though Tiger remains positive, most medical experts will say that it's, and you hate to see anything as impossible with Tiger, but most medical experts will say that it'll be very difficult for him to come back and play competitively after his seventh surgery on his spinal column. So we'll see what happens. So it looks like maybe his career is over.
Well, back to Barry with your genius pick.
Doug, sometimes, Hugh Freeze needs to change his offense. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you got to do something different. What you're doing is not working, right?
Well, no, it's not working. Three straight years now, he started 0-4 in the Southeastern Conference. That's terrible, guys. But it comes down to, and you guys have talked about it, Jimmy Sexton, who you guys know, the super agent in Memphis, basically controls college football.
Yeah.
Virtually all the coaches are under his contractual agreement, if you will, or are being represented by him. James Franklin, Billy Napier, Hugh Freeze, Mike Norvell at Florida State. I don't know how long he's going to keep coaching at FSU. Lane Kiffin, Kalen DeBoer, Dan Lanning. I mean, you name a coach, they go. And so basically when Napier gets fired, University of Florida goes to Sexton. Who you got? Give us your list of people who might be interested. And I'm sure those conversations have already gone on. But I'm amazed at how one guy, and Trace Armstrong, Birmingham guy, he represents some guys too. But basically, Jimmy Sexton is the guy.
It's not who you got. It's who's looking to leave. Who's
good
willing
point.
To leave? Is Dabo willing to leave? I don't even know if Jimmy's got Dabo, but is he willing to leave? And is that somebody you're interested in? Or is Dabo, has the game, the new era of college football passed Dabo? If he doesn't want to go NIL and doesn't want to go portal, then he might not be a guy you want to hire. So,
I'm with you. With you. The interesting thing, though, guys, Kurt Cignetti, who was on Coach Saban's staff and bounced around and finally got this Indiana job and has done a great job and signed this huge contract last week because IU was potentially scared that he would go to Penn State, et cetera, or Florida. And Cignetti is not represented by anybody. He has legal representation, but no super agent, which I found fascinating. And he got one of those $100 million deals, right?
Yeah.
So good for Kurt Cignetti. And I thought that was funny. They said, Coach, what did you do after you signed the contract? He said, well, my wife and I, we went out furniture shopping. We needed some new furniture but I would not replace my Lazy Boy. I bought this 13 years ago, and he goes, they don't make them anymore, so I still have the same Lazy Boy in the TV room that I've had for 13 years. No. I love Kurt Cignetti. Yeah. I think he's a pretty cool guy. And we'll see how long that lasts at Indiana. He's doing a pretty good job right now, though.
Well, what I was getting at about – Freeze needing to change. His dad's got to change his way of picking blue plates. He took California.
Yeah.
And he argued with me over the line. He and the guy that does another pick that took Memphis. He was arguing with me over the Memphis line, how many points he was going to get. And he didn't win. So he's 4-6. But all right, let's see what Doug's picks. Doug had a terrible start to the season. He was 12-12 going into the weekend. And Doug said, Georgia versus Ole Miss. Take Georgia minus a 7.5. And they won by 8. So that would be a win for Doug Bell right there. Vanderbilt, he didn't even waver. Take Vanderbilt minus a 2.5. And they smacked LSU. Another victory for Doug.
Yeah.
And then Alabama, he said, take Alabama minus the 9.5 versus Tennessee. We all know the score there. Another victory for Doug.
Yeah, you're a genius.
So Doug goes 3-0. Give him another round of applause there, Chase. 3-0. Yes. And I don't know what you've been the last 3 weeks, but you are hot right now.
Yes.
And that record is 15-12 for the year. So he is in the money, in the money. Doug, how's it feel to be on top? How's it feel?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's tough on top, though, because everybody's coming at me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's what was that Coach Saban said about being on Mount Everest? It's easier to go up. But it's, you know, coming down is very difficult. Yeah. Most people lose their way on the way down.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I plan on staying on top for a while, though, guys.
All right. Where are we going this week? Maybe Dan will copy one of your picks this week.
No, Coach will never copy me. I will say this, though. Ohio State is the best team in the country to bet on, the number one team. They're 6-0-1 against the spread. So what a year for Ohio State, especially if you're a fan and you've been gambling on them. And, oh, by the way, Penn State, Baylor, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, 1-6 against the spread. The worst teams to bet on all season. Just throw it out there. But here's where I'm going, guys. Ole Miss, and Barry, you know, we talked about it last week. These SEC matchups are great. Number 8, Ole Miss, at number 13, Oklahoma. I mean, these games are great. Oklahoma, I got them favored by 4.5. What do you got there, Barry?
Ole Miss, Oklahoma, 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5. Well, the Sooners last week looked great, 23-6 at South Carolina, forced a couple of turnovers. They're the number one defense in the Southeastern Conference and number one in the country, by the way. And their defense is better than Georgia's defense. And Georgia's defense gave up some points there to Ole Miss. First five drives, they allowed touchdowns, which I thought was interesting. Then they got tough at the end. Guys, I'm going with Oklahoma. The quarterback is healthy. I think Oklahoma, after last week's impressive showing, defense will keep them in the game. They're going to shut down Ole Miss, and I think Oklahoma covers at home against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to beat Ole Miss twice.
What's the number?
4.5. I think Georgia will beat Ole Miss twice. Ole Miss will not be able to get back up after an emotional loss there.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. Yeah. And the Rebs, by the way, 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 road games.
Yeah.
They do not play well on the road. So, again, just another factor. I think Oklahoma wins this one by at least a touchdown or more.
All right. On Saturday. We got that one locked in. What's the next one?
All right. Number 15, Mizzou at Vanderbilt, who, by the way, is 10th in the country. First time they've been in the top 10 since 1947. I mean, these are mind-boggling statistics. And College Game Day, by the way, will be in Nashville on Saturday. And the last time they were at Game Day was there 2008 when Vanderbilt beat Auburn, who at the time was a top 10 team. I think James Franklin was the coach back then in 2008. But anyway, same scenario as last week, guys. Vanderbilt, they could be headed for a playoff appearance. I think they're that good. I think Missouri's gotten beaten up playing Alabama and Auburn in back-to-back weeks. I just don't see them going to Nashville and I just think they're bruised and battered. I like Vanderbilt. I love their quarterback. I think Vanderbilt wins another big one in comfortable fashion on Saturday.
All right, so that's Vanderbilt minus 2.5 right now. 2.5. So
love it. Love it.
You go.
Love
it. All right, third game.
All right, Texas A&M has reached number 3 in the country at LSU. LSU now dropped to number 20. Last year, A&M won the game 38-23. Marcel Reed had a fabulous game, and so there's a revenge factor. This is interesting, guys. LSU offensively completes third down conversions 42% of the time. That's 54th in the country. That's not great. On the reverse side, A&M's defense allows third down conversions only 22% of the time. That's second in the country. So you're thinking, wait a minute. LSU's going to lose another one, right? No. LSU, they got a lot of talent. They get it done on Saturday. A&M suffers their first loss. And oh, by the way, I think LSU's getting points at home, guys, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, you're getting 2.5.
Yes.
In Baton Rouge at 6:30 at night.
Oh, I mean, barely. I mean, mail it in, right?
Parlay it, Doug.
I like the way these things are unfolding. And yeah. And you're right. You know, I felt good after last week. But again, you have to watch these games. You know, the Georgia game, I was like, oh, my goodness. And then it all worked out. The Alabama game, okay. I felt pretty good about that one. So, and then, of course, Vanderbilt. Again, that quarterback for Vandy, guys, he's a difference maker. He really is. And I know Ty Simpson is the number one guy right now for the Heisman Trophy. You got to put Pavia up in the convo. He's got to be in that conversation. I don't think there's any question.
I tell you what, if you're highly ranked, you don't want to play on Friday nights. That done worked out real well for some people.
No, that Miami game, what a crazy ending that was, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carson Beck played himself right out of the Heisman that night.
Yeah, and he did. And afterwards, you know, I thought it was interesting, his post-game comments. He threw the wide receiver under the bus. You know, he said the guy ran the wrong route. The wrong route. And, you know, he was just thrown to the spot where the guy should have been. So he was laying the blame on the wide receiver, which I found was an interesting comment from a quarterback who's been around the block. You would have thought he had been a little more, you know, maybe a little less decisive on placing the blame on somebody. But, hey, when you lose, it's tough. And for Miami, still only one loss. And if you look at their schedule, Miami's got an opportunity now to wind up 11-1 in the ACC championship. So it's not all loss for the Miami Hurricanes.
Doug, I sense a little glee in your voice today.
I have to admit it was a rough start with the picks this season.
Why don't you jab Dad a little bit? He thinks I want him to lose. I don't want him to lose, but he used to jab you when you lost. Go ahead and jab him a little bit. You going to jab him?
Oh, no. That's okay. I wanted to ask you this, and Coach, I saw you down there at SEC Basketball Media Days. Guys, I thought this was interesting, and the college season starts in 2 weeks. And Ken Pom, you know, has all the basketball rankings, and they released their top 25 college coaches currently, right? And they base it on all sorts of factors. It's a computer-based thing. And Nate Oates, not in the top 25. Todd Golden of Florida, not in the top 25. John Calipari, Arkansas, not in the top 25. Bill Self of Kansas, they have him all the way down to 20th in the country as far as ranking head coaches. I don't know. I just that was a head-scratcher for me when you leave out the guy who won the national championship.
Let me help you.
And Nate Oates.
The top 20, preseason top 25, they had Texas number 1, Penn State number 2, and Clemson 4. So don't buy into these rankings, all right?
Okay.
There you go.
All right. I just, you know, I'm excited about college basketball, but when I saw that, I was kind of like, now, wait a minute. What are they based? I mean, how can you leave Nate Oates off the top 25 coaches currently in college basketball?
They didn't have John Shire on there either, so he's coaching Duke. That was just one of the national.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, Kelvin Sampson was number 1. Okay.
Yeah.
I think, but I don't know, some of those names, leaving them out in the top 25.
Picks of coaches was terrible.
I think it was a joke, to be honest with you. So
yeah,
just to get people stirred up. So
okay, well, it stirred me up. So it worked.
It worked. Yeah. All right.
They got me talking about it. So
tell everybody about your vacation spot, Doug.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. I'll be talking to the guys from Casa de Campo on my podcast, The Old Gab Box Podcast, this week. They're going to cut the ribbon on Teeth of the Dog. That's the Pete Dye special. Jerry Pate has been redoing it. Go to CasaDeCampo.com. And listen, they would welcome you for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, maybe a family vacay during the holiday break. CasaDeCampo.com, the best golf in the Caribbean, guys.
Thank you, Doug.
Talk to you next week, fellas. Thank you.
All right, there's Doug Bell. But Doug feels like he's a winner, right? And he'll probably go 0-3 this week. All right, let's tell him about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
I saw Paul Jr. yesterday. I was together, and Bryant Bank is doing great. If they're needing a bank account in your neighborhood, you need to stop by and visit with them. Open up a personal or business account. I think you should be very satisfied with the way they handle you. They'll be there for you. They'll give you assurance that your money will be safe, and they will do a good job with you all together. You'll be able to bank online around the clock, which is big. And I think that you'll find Bryant Bank people will be the people that your children will sort of halfway get to know a little bit because they're interested in the schools. So go by Bryant Bank, open up the account, and tell them you heard on our show.
All right, we'll take the break, get back, get the vinegar tip for this Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room. All those phone lines will be up at 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
To traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still getting reports of the accident on Highway 69 southbound after Mayhenton Road, or Mayhenton Boulevard, that is. And it's specifically at Little Sandy Road, blocking that left lane. Also moving in Foster's 20.
With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I feel good.
Second hour of Inside the Locker Room. All right, this vinegar tip is brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. You're looking for auto insurance, motorcycle, homeowners, condo insurance, whatever you need, Michael is your guy. Once again, it's 205-752-8500. All right, what do we got this Monday?
I've not ever heard of Kayleen Pepper. C-A-Y-E-N-N-E, Kayleen Pepper. Now, if you've got aching muscles because you worked out the first time or because you worked out a lot and your muscles ache all over, you'll take this pepper and apple cider vinegar and you'll put it and get it involved in with a soft cloth. Mix the Kayleen Pepper and the apple cider vinegar together and then kind of wring it out and wrap it on the affected area. And then after you've done that, then get a dry cloth. We said something like this similar, but not like this. Get a dry cloth and then take it over what you've already put on there. Compress it and kind of just hold it, push it down there good. And you're going to feel that muscle is going to open up. It's going to feel better. You're going to be able to move your muscles a lot better. You'll be able to continue to do that with the muscles that are bothering you, whether it be your leg or your arms. And you apply that as much as needed. And the pepper and the apple cider vinegar to go together, they say, is a great compress. So do that.
All right. Also, Ricky, I hadn't read the article, but homeowners are wiping vinegar on their walls, and experts say carry on. So I'm not sure maybe that's cleaning the walls. I have to read the article there. But all this vinegar stuff brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Dial him up today. Tell him you heard it on Inside the Locker Room, 205-752-8500. I get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
Hey, Cowboy.
How you doing, Barry and Coach? I was wondering right quick, that apple cider vinegar, could you use that kind of like you do with peroxide? You cut your finger or cut a wound, just pour it over the top and kind of...
No, I don't think so. I don't think you do it like that.
It won't work like peroxide.
No, I don't think so.
Why don't you try it and let us know, Cowboy?
I may do that. All right. Well, Barry, what I guess I was calling about, I guess I've been going through some soul searchings and some thinkings, but I don't know if I'm ready for a mea culpa yet, but I'm getting close. But I guess the main gist of my mea culpa would be 2 years ago when I told these Alabama fans and people that I know that Washington football team was pretty good. You know what they hit me with every time I told them?
What's that?
They don't play no defense in that league. They don't play no defense. And now, you know, now the Alabama defense is somewhat like a Pac-12 defense. So I'll leave that at that. And then expand later in my maybe mea culpa when I guess I'm ready to expand.
Alabama defense is improved now. It's improved.
I mean,
oh, I understand that, but it's a lot like a Pac-12 style defense.
Oh, I don't think the offense
is a lot like a Pac-12 style offense.
I mean, I would say Josh Heupel's a pretty good offense coordinator, wouldn't you?
He was absolutely horrible Saturday night, if you want to break him down. But I don't really want to talk about him. He'll never get Tennessee over the top. His play calling, I've seen him blow clocks.
What did he do wrong?
Wasn't the first time.
Well, their running back rushed for 123 yards. Their quarterback.
That's right. That's right.
203 for 268. They gained over 400 yards on Alabama.
But still, in the crucial moments, he couldn't make that right call like Ryan Grubb.
Oh, man. That play at the end of the half, I mean, that was just a killer. They're right there to score. And
He telegraphed it.
And, you know, everybody runs that play now. Everybody runs that play on the goal line.
That's not why I called. But I'll say this. If you're going to throw it down there, I would have thrown it on push down. And then you got the clock to stop the clock, because an incomplete pass, if you don't score, stops the clock. And then run it on second down when they're thinking you might pass it.
Yeah.
And not run in the middle. Hit something wide and see what you do. And use the tight end there to come back and seal the edge and get that back one-on-one to the corner of the goal line, and I think you score. But that's
all right, Cowboy. I'm on. I love you, Cowboy. But pleasing you as a coach, it would be impossible.
Did you bet on the game?
No, it would.
Yeah, it would.
I didn't bet. But what I called about was to talk about Shane Beamer. I watched his press conference yesterday, and there is a lot of snippety between Beamer and the media up there in South Carolina. And I know you're close to it, Barry. He calls the guys by their first name. He has a kind of a psycho look to him there in the press conference yesterday.
Oh,
if you got time today, go look at it. It's from after the game Saturday. And, there's a lot of problems going on up there in South Carolina. What do you hear, Billy?
That's amazing. I mean, last year, really, he had a playoff team. They really probably should have been in. Now it's taken a dip. They lost a lot of guys there. Their best defensive player was injured a lot during that Oklahoma game. That was bad loss. I think Beamer, they keep talking about him going to Virginia Tech. He squashed that and said he's at his dream job there. He's working his tail off to make South Carolina contender. I like Beamer, but I think it's a tough job. They're killing your boy over there, Mike Shula, right now. He's taking a lot of heat over there, Cowboy.
Yeah. What, do you think that the guy last year that's now the head coach at App State that came from the NFL did a lot better job?
We'll ask JC on Thursday. I mean, like Alabama win the game, but this could be a trap game. You better go over there ready to play, because South Carolina will be. And everybody's thinking, ooh, we got past all these ranked teams. Now we can take a breath. And I don't think Kalen DeBoer and those guys will do that. But these games are scary. Did you ever think UAB would beat Memphis this weekend?
No, but I'm happy for the Morton kid or man and his father. You know, I wish he could have been here to see that. But you know what? He might could get that job. What do you think, Coach and Barry?
Well, cut that.
I mean,
if he keeps doing that, he'll get it.
I think if they were to win them all, he could. You have nowhere to go there. They have no money to buy players, or very little.
Right.
It's a gamble job. It's a terrible job, to be honest with you. Alabama and Auburn engulf them in the state, even interest wise. And it needs to be some kind of little bit of a character guy, a guy that's kind of a little bit of a character, funny guy that's really good at coaching. It's got to be, it can't be just some blase guy. It's a hard job.
Yeah.
If I were him, I don't know if I would even want that job. It's my first job because your record's going to be terrible, and you're going to start. You probably end your career there.
You can't move from there.
Yeah. Hey Barry, let me ask this: could they hire a guy like Jacksonville State did and Rich Rodriguez? You know, didn't have many options left. He was offensive coordinator for Terry Bowden at Louisiana Monroe his first year there. But he's got a name, and he's, you know, had some fallouts at some other places. And do you think maybe that guy could resurrect? Because, you know, Rich Rodriguez did a heck of a job up there at Jacksonville State, and the interest in the program is really spiked up there, I'm sure.
You got more money at Jacksonville State than you do UAB. Well, they love their school at Jacksonville State because they're – feel like they're big time. UAB's trying to go big time, but no big time money.
Yeah, Jacksonville State's got a campus. I mean, it's a campus life. It's a better job than UAB.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is maybe that's the kind of guy they got to find.
Yeah, they could. They could. I don't know who that is right now, but it'll be somebody out there. Or you got to say, you know what, let's take a shot at Cochran. He would get some publicity, maybe get some of that Alabama money. We'll see. I don't know. It's not a very good job,
But I guess when I decide if I'm doing my mea culpa, but it all centers around the Alabama people telling me before ever Kalen DeBoer was ever hired at Alabama or thought of that they don't play that stuff in the SEC. And then immediately when he was hired, they were like sheep and forgot what they told me. But I don't forget. and I'm just going.
You're hard to please.
No. How can you forget what you tell me, but when your school does it, you agree with it and become a sheep? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're tough on coaches, Cowboy.
No, I'm not tough on coaches.
There you
are. I tell you, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Nick Saban, I love Nick Saban at Michigan State. I liked him at LSU, but all my Alabama friends couldn't stand him, but a couple guys liked him. But boy, the minute he put on that crimson, man, their whole attitude changes. I'm not like that. If I see a good coach and I like him at Slippery Rock State, I'm going to tell him.
All right, is Kalen DeBoer a good coach? Is Kalen DeBoer a good coach?
He does a lot of things.
I didn't ask that. Is he a good coach?
Yeah, he's done a good job. Yes, he does. Yes, he is. He's a good coach.
You're going to be, I told you so, coach. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. You're waiting on them to lose where you can say, go back to your narrative.
He's waiting on I told you so.
It's all right. I mean, there's a lot of y'all out there. There's a lot of you out there. Now, he deserves some criticism after the Michigan game and Florida State. The effort and all those games were pitiful. But he's coming around. We'll see. Season's not over, though.
But Barry and Coach, I tell you what. Now, if you're on the other team and you got the football behind the 50, you got to hit his defense with chunk plays and don't get stopped in the red zone. You got to get big time scores. That's what Florida State did, and then they opened up that running game and pounded them in the fourth.
Yeah, Florida State. We weren't ready. Florida State, once they put film out on them and everybody got a chance to really see who they were, all water finds its level, and that's what's happened. Thank you, Cowboy. All right, sorry, Jason, we got to go. We blew past that break. We got to double the break, so call us tomorrow. That's it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.